Tonight, just for a little while, we want to look in Psalm 71. Psalm 71. And our title, it's just kind of a, if you will, a kind of a simple message tonight. But it's meaningful when you just, you know, we can, that's the wonderful thing about the Scripture, is we can read it and we can find hope in it. We can find comfort in it. We can find direction in it. We can find help. And so the psalmist here, we'll begin reading with verse 1 of Psalm 71. And we'll read the first five verses. And then we'll read verse 14. And as I read it, I want you to just simply maybe apply it to your life and the condition that the world is in. And so verse 1 says, "In thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. Let me never be put to confusion. Deliver me in thy righteousness and cause me to escape. Incline thine ear unto me and save me. Be thou my strong habitation whereunto I may continually resort. Thou hast given commandment to save me, for thou art my rock and my fortress. Deliver me, O my God, out of the hand of the wicked, out of the hand of the unrighteous and cruel man. For thou art my hope, O Lord God. Thou art my trust from my youth." And then verse 14 says, "But I will hope continually and will yet praise thee more and more." Let's pray. Father, thank you for our time together. We thank you for another opportunity that we have, that we can come together. Various backgrounds, various burdens, various challenges in our life. And Lord, we know that we can find help in you. Father, we pray for each one that's here. We pray for those that are viewing, the struggles that we have in life. Help us to always remember and help us to apply to our life that you are our help. So, Father, I pray that you'll help me for the time that we have. And we ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, it's easy to praise the Lord when everything is going in a positive direction. It's easy to praise the Lord when it seems like that our struggles are minimal. But what about when trials come? What about when difficulties come? What about when struggles come? What about when you're discouraged? What about when you're troubled of what life brings you? The psalmist asks the Lord, or makes a request that says, let me never be put to confusion. We live in a very confused world. And it's confused in so many different directions. It's confusing as to what people think our world needs. It's confusing as far as economics. It's confusing as far as life itself. It's confusing as to what marriage is. It's confusing as to there's so many things, and the list could go on and on and on. And if we're not careful, if we don't stay close to the Lord, then we could be struggled, or we could have struggles with that confusion. I can give testimony in my own life of an individual that I was very close to that struggled, and they were born again, and they struggled in life like many has. And for whatever reason, and there's always a reason, or at least there seems to be, they were discouraged of what was happening in their life, and it was almost as to God wasn't answering their prayers the way that they felt like they needed to be answered. And so they became discouraged, and they grew distant from the Lord. And when you start down that spiral path, then you can get away very quickly. And it was some years later, probably about, I would say probably at least somewhere around 10 years, that person that I'm referring to got things right with the Lord and repented. And you could see the joy come back in that person's life. It's not a matter of what caused it, because there's a lot of causes. But what matters is the fact that it happened and it was allowed to happen. Our relationship with the Lord should be the top of our list of importance. Our relationship with the Lord. Look, He saved us. And Jesus Christ paid the ultimate price. He sacrificed because we had no hope. There was no hope that we had. I mean, we were hopeless without Christ. But when we come to know Jesus Christ and we ask Jesus Christ into our heart and we have that changed heart because we say, Lord, save me. And when we said a similar words to that, then our life changed. But the struggles in life don't. Our life changes on the inside, but the struggles in life don't. If we had what we had just a few moments ago, and I appreciate every testimony, and I meant to say for those that were viewing, that if you wanted to thank the Lord for saving you, feel free to put it in the chat. And so I meant to say that. So if you'd like to do that, please do. But when our life changes on the inside and we accept Christ as our personal Savior, then the world isn't changing. And the struggles in life continue. And if I was to have a moment of time that if you so chose to share with us, myself included, some of the burdens that we have in life, and some of the things that you're going through personally, it would be overwhelming. Because every person is carrying some kind of a burden or a difficulty or, you know, even people in our lives. You know, we earnestly pray for the people in our lives, whether it be coworkers or family members or neighbors or friends, and we constantly pray for them, because we see evidence of their heart not being in the right place. And it would be overwhelming, but the one thing that we can rejoice about tonight is the fact that we can give our cares to the Lord because He's our help. He's our help. And so as we give our cares to Him, then we should also be like the psalmist and says, that says, let me never be put to confusion, because there's confusion out there. It's amazing some of the confusion that is out there that we are surrounded. So therefore it's important that we understand that salvation is in Christ alone. And that His shed blood paid the ultimate price. And the fact that we need to, my dad used to tell me growing up, he used to tell me, whatever you do in life, make a beeline to the cross. And that's still the same today. So I just want to give you just a few thoughts tonight as we bring this Sunday to a close. And think about our help is in the Lord. Verse 1 says, in Thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. As I mentioned before, there's confusion. There's confusion in the so many things. And you know, if you spend a lot of time any time at all getting stories and getting things from the airwaves through the internet, it's gotten to the point to where you don't know if it's true or not. You really don't. Because you hear one thing and then you hear something else and then you kind of get confused and you say, what is the truth? Well, that's one of many ways. And again, Satan is on the tack and he wants to confuse us. He wants to confuse. And there's even confusion, and there's been confusion let me just put it this way. There's been confusion about truth ever since Adam and Eve. Because God said, don't. And Satan says, you should. And years and years and years and years and continually there's confusion. So we need to be grounded in the truth and we need to find help tonight. And our help is in the Lord because we can trust Him. We can trust Him. You know, it's amazing to me that trust is something that is lacking in today. You go through a drive-through and you place your order and you're trusting that your order is right. But how many times is it? Very few. I don't know if the pastor remembers or not, but he and I went fishing and we went to Bugs Island fishing and we had actually caught I don't know if he remembers or not. It seems like it was either 112 or 118 crappie. And we were going to go back to my house and we were going to clean them. And on the way back through, we went through a drive-through and we went through, I believe it might have been a Wendy's, and we stopped in Reedsville and he said, I want a cup of coffee. So we ordered this cup of coffee. And as soon as we left and he got back on the road, and I think I personally believe that they sabotage drive-through windows. I do. Because how many people's gonna go back? But anyway, he took a drink of his coffee and he said it was just as cold as ice. And so, the trust was that person was going to provide what you paid for. Provide that service. And do you remember that? Okay. I just wondered if he remembered. Because sometimes when we tell stories about our adventures, they're a little different. When he gets up here, they're just a little different. But he's your former pastor, and I'm the pastor, so you believe me, okay? But it's hard to trust now. So our focus is on the one that we can trust. And that's the Lord. The psalmist says, "In Thee, O Lord, in Thee, O Lord." It doesn't mean that we're going to understand everything. It doesn't mean that we're going to understand a fraction of what goes on our life. But we can trust Him to the point to where, Lord, whatever my life brings me or whatever I have to struggle with in my life, I'm going to trust You. I'm going to trust You. The psalmist gave evidence that there was confusion, just like there is today. But we can still trust the Lord because He's our help. There's confusion about God. Who is He? What kind of God is He? And you've heard this before, I'm sure. If God loved me, why is this happening to me? If God's so loving, why is lives being taken? And the questions could go on and on and on and on. But there's that confusion. And the realization, and we need to remember this, but the realization and the state that we're in the depravity of man is the fact that man's a sinner. And that sin is in life. Sin is everywhere, and sin is life. But what we have to do is, when we are dealt with confusion as the world gives, then we need to make a beeline to the cross, as I said. Because the cross is the answer to man's problems. The cross is the answer. Because Jesus Christ paid the ultimate price. And then the realization that we're not here but for a short time, but because of the cross and because of the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, we have hope, and one day we're going to be in heaven. As we were singing just a few moments ago, think about 10,000 years. I can't even comprehend 10,000 years. My mind can't comprehend 10,000 years, but in 10,000 years, every one of us that are saved are going to be in heaven. That's the hope we have. That's the hope we have. So in Thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. What about, not only is there confusion, about God, but there's also confusion, about, what to believe. Because if you think about all the different religions, and I can't even begin to name the different religions that there are out there. But I will say this: if it isn't the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, and if it isn't whosoever will, and if it isn't the fact that Jesus Christ paid the ultimate price for you and me, then there's not much truth to it. Because the world don't mind religion. And in reality, Satan don't mind religion, but what he minds, as I mentioned this morning, is truth. Truth. The world is confused about what success is. The world says that that as long as you that you can be successful and you achieve a certain thing, but success isn't what we do. Success is what He's done. What He's done through the Lord Jesus Christ. There's confusion about marriage. There's confusion about death. And I've heard so many times in life, in this life, when I've talked to an individual or gone to a funeral or gone to a viewing or going to see the family, and when I hear the words, "Well, they're better off," that's only true if they know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. The amount of suffering that they endured in this life will never compare to the amount of suffering that takes place in eternity without Jesus. See, that's confusion. I wonder sometimes if that's so confusing is because we're not seeing the suffering. But in reality, there's not a doubt in my mind that if those people that said no to Jesus, if they were able to come back, they would tell you, Jesus, Jesus. Our help is in the Lord. Our help to trust. We must trust that God will deliver. Verse 2 says, deliver me in thy righteousness and cause me to escape. Incline thine ear unto me and save me. Throughout the Bible, God's people, God's servants, show us the difficulties in life. But yet God delivered them. There is no place in the Bible, and you won't find it from front to back, there's no place in the Bible that says God failed. But there's places in the Bible where they give testimony of people failing. People, not God, but people. God will never fail. I think of Jonah. I think of Peter. Judas. There's people. And the list could go on. There's people that come up short. And that's why it's so important that we focus on the Lord. We focus on Him. We trust Him. We honor Him. We look to Him. He's our help. He's our help. Number 3, we must trust God to be our dwelling place. Verse 3, be thou my strong habitation whereunto I may continually resort. Continually resort. Thou hast given commandments to save me. Thou art my rock and my fortress. In your dwelling place is a place of safety. Safety. And when the Lord is our dwelling place, our strong habitation, where we continually resort, you can find comfort, you can find a time to relax, and you can find a place to rest. Because the world is full of confusion. The world is full of confusion. But you know, we need God's help. And we need His strength. When we trust God, He's our strength. Verse 5 says, for Thou art my hope, O Lord God. Thou art my trust from my youth. We trust Him. We trust Him. We find strength in Him. Hebrews chapter 6 verse 19 says, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that within the veil. We hope in the Lord. We find our anchor in the Lord. We're steadfast in the Lord. We trust His strength. We trust His strength. With the Lord's help, we can maintain courage through difficult times because our hope is in the Lord, verse 5. Our strength is renewed through crisis because our hope is in the Lord. We look forward to the fulfillment of God's promises, God's plan in our life because we trust Him. And I'm still convinced that God has a plan for every one of us. And until He takes us home, He's got a plan. He's got a plan. But we must trust Him. When we trust God, we seek to do good. When we trust Him, we commit our lives to Him. When we trust Him, we delight in Him. When we trust Him, we exercise a patient spirit in Him. I want to conclude tonight by going back to a section of Scripture that we've spent some time in recently. And I want us to kind of paint a picture here, and that's in 1 Kings 17. Because I'm convinced that the more we study a passage and the more we study what God has for us, then there's things that we can learn and there's things that we can find help in. Because our help, or my hope, and our help is in the Lord. And that is none other than Elijah. Elijah. We know that he prayed and it did not rain. And in chapter 17 of 1 Kings, verse 2, it says, "And the word of the Lord came to him, saying, Get thee hence and turn eastward and hide thyself by the brook Cherith that is before Jordan. And it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. And so he went and did according to the word of the Lord, and he went and dwelt by the brook Cherith that is before Jordan, and the ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning, and bread and flesh in the evening, and he drank of the brook." Now, although there was a drought, and although there were struggles, and although there were difficulties, he was doing pretty good. He was doing pretty good. I mean, think about it. How would you like it if in the morning you had a raven bringing you some bacon? How would you like it in the evening if the raven brought you some bread and brought you some meat? You had plenty of water to drink. And so he was, in a sense, he was living life pretty good. God was providing for him, and so he did what God asked him to do, and God was providing. And although there were people that were beginning to suffer and the drought was taking place and there hadn't been no rain and all those things, and he had water, he had food. But you realize the mountaintop experiences, as wonderful as they are, they sometimes change. And so the brook began to dry up. And I'm wondering, think about your own life when things go really, really good. Again, Satan is on the attack. And all I can say is, if things are going really good, beware, because things may change very quickly. And so the brook began to dry up. God didn't fail. God didn't fail. But the brook began to dry up. But the direction changed. God's direction changed. Verse 8 says, "And when the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, Go arise, get thee to Zarephath, which is belongeth to Sidon, and dwell there. Behold, I will command a widow woman there to sustain thee." The whole time God is providing. The whole time God is helping. The whole time he's finding strength in the Lord. But the direction changed. The direction changed. Well, think about your own life and how that directions have changed in your life. So he did as the Lord said. And Verse 10 says, the widow woman was there gathering sticks, and he had called to her and said, fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel and that I may drink. And she was going to fetch it. And he called her and said, bring me, I pray, a morsel of bread in thy hand. And she said, O Lord, thy God liveth. I have not a cake, but a handful of meal in a barrel and a little oil in a cruse. And behold, I will gather two sticks that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, and that we may eat and die. So they were kind of at the end, if you will, of what they had. But Elijah gave her a promise. Verse 13, and Elijah said to her, fear not, go and do that thou hast said, but make me therefore a little cake first, and bring it unto me, and after make thee for thee and thy son. For thus saith the Lord, God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail until the day that the Lord sendeth rain unto the earth. And she went and did according to as Elijah, or saying to Elijah, and she and he and her, or her house did eat many days. And it talks about the meal and the barrel of oil was didn't fail. God's our help. But we need to listen. And we need to trust. But it didn't stop there. It didn't stop there. So after a period of time, there was a prayer, and we shared this with you in a recent service, but the son fell sick. And Elijah helped in verse 19, and he said unto her, give me thy son. And he took him out of her bosom and carried him up in a loft where he abode, and laid him upon his own bed. And he cried unto the Lord and said, O Lord my God, thou hast also brought evil upon this woman whom thou sojourned by slaying her son. And he stretched forth his and he stretched himself upon the child three times, and cried unto the Lord and said, O Lord my God, I pray thee, let this child's soul come into him again. And the Lord heard the voice of Elijah, and the soul of the child came into him again, and he revived. And Elijah took the child and brought him down out of the chamber into the house, and delivered him unto the mother. And Elijah said, see, thy son liveth. And the woman said unto Elijah, now by this I know that thou art a man of God, and the word of the Lord is in thy mouth, is truth. Is truth. You see, we don't know what path in life that we're going to go. We don't know what challenges that we're going to have. We don't know. But keep in mind that the challenges in your life could be helping someone else. And we can't lose sight of that. Because our hope is in the Lord. Our hope is in Him. So as we face life, as we face the difficulties, as we face the challenges, always remember that, as Sister Ashley mentioned, our light can still shine for Jesus Christ. And you never know how you're going to be helping someone. But if we live in discouragement, and we live in defeat, and we live in the situation of that individual that I told you about that dealt with bitterness for 10 years, if we live in that, the light isn't very bright, is it? But Elijah's direction changed. God provided, the brook dried up. God told him to be in this widow woman's, in this child's life. You never know where God has you to help someone, to be a part of their life. Because God knew sickness was coming to this child. You see, our hope tonight is in the Lord. And we find strength tonight in the Lord. But I trust that we focus on Him. And we stand to what verse 14 says in Psalm 71 that says, "But I will hope continually and will yet praise Thee more and more." Because our hope is in the Lord, He's worthy of our praise. And every day that we live, every day that we find strength, every day that we find help, although life changes, challenges come, difficulties come, so many things, our voice should be praising the Lord because our hope is in Him. Let's pray tonight. Our Father, we thank You for the hope that we have in Jesus. We thank You tonight that we can hope in You. And Lord, as You know our hearts, You know our struggles, You know where we are. Help us, Lord, to focus on You. Help us to focus on truth. Help us to look to You. Father, we praise You tonight for Your goodness, Your mercy, Your love, Your patience, Your long-suffering, Your willingness. And we praise You tonight for Jesus down on the cross for our sins. We praise You for the shed blood. We praise You for one day touching our heart that we knew that we were lost and we needed Jesus. Lord, I pray that if You've spoken to a heart in any way that just wants to come and thank You, wants to come and talk to You about some struggles, whatever You've spoken to people's hearts with, I pray that they'll come and simply talk to You. Help us to not go another day without thanking You and praising You. Help us to not let the struggles in life take precedence, but help us to focus on You. We ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.